This is the Antisocial Podcast, episode 180. And it's with New York comedians Mike Feeney and Mike Cannon. But before we kick into it, you know the drill. But if we haven't met before, how you doing? My name's Andy Dowling, and in addition to hosting this podcast, I also play bass in the Australian metal band Lord. And if you love a little bit of old school heavy metal in the vein of Priest and Iron Maiden, Queensryche, Halloween, all that great stuff, lots of guitar solos and sing-alongs and all that cheese, go over to lord.net.au, go and check out our video clips, our back catalogue. We've got links to all the social media platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, all that sort of stuff. Easy to discover our music and get a taste of what we're all about. And please go and check out our brand new single, United, Welcome Back, which is off the upcoming new album, Fallen Idols. If you go over to lord.net.au/united, you can check out the video clip. You can check out the track listing for the Australian version of the new album, Fallen Idols, and a bunch of other stuff over there. Oh, and go and grab a United t-shirt as well. We've got a few of them left. If you've got Spotify or Apple Music, find the single, go and add it to your favorite playlist and play the crap out of that. Share it around. Word of mouth, people power, it means a hell of a lot. And let's see what we can do with this single while we wait for more information about the new album. So stay tuned for that. Speaking of which, and I'm going to try and get off this band stuff really quickly, but we have an Australian tour coming up at the end of June, starting the 21st of June at the Basement in Canberra, the 28th of June, I believe, at the Back Room in Brisbane, the 29th of June at Badlands in Perth, and then we've got the 5th of July at the Evelyn Hotel in Melbourne, we've got the 6th of July at Jive in Adelaide, and then we've got the 26th of July at Crowbar in Sydney. There will be more dates later on down the track, but this is our first little installment to kick off the brand new album. So stay tuned for that. You can go over to the website, lord.net.au, and you can check out details of how to purchase tickets in advance. And if you've got any questions, hit me up directly. Now, in addition to everything else that I do, I also host the Self-Starter Podcast, which is all about small business, self-employment, and freelancing. I'm not going to crap on too much about this, but go over to selfstarter.com.au. I'm about to release season 2 of Self-Starter, which kicks off at the beginning of June. If you've got any last-minute recommendations for season 2 as far as guests that should be on the podcast, let me know. I've got a couple of spots left, so please shoot me a little message if you've got any ideas of who could be on the podcast. In the meantime, you can go and listen to season 1 via your favorite podcast player, as I crap on all the time about. Shout out time. Every week, I thank somebody. Sorry, folks. I thank somebody who supports me and the podcast in a range of different ways. It could be buying some merch, some apparel, some threads from the online store over at andysocial.net, or it could be shouting me a beer via the PayPal button over at andysocial.net, funnily enough. It could be something really simple, like a guest recommendation, a message of encouragement. It could be a bit of social media love, the liking, the retweeting, the tagging, the hashtagging. I guess that's something. Sharing, you know, all that shit. Reviews, whatever. It doesn't matter, big or small. It helps. It keeps this whole thing moving. These little 1% extras just mean so much to me, and I'm trying to do this more for other people because I know how much it means to me when people, you know, support me in these different ways. So thank you so much. Anyway, thank you. So every week I thank one person, put them on public record, and it's my little way of saying thank you and giving back just a little bit. It's the least I could be doing. So this week's shout out is for Daniel Harris, and Daniel's from Adelaide in South Australia, and fucking Daniel gave me the biggest freaking list of guest maker recommendations I've ever had. I think there's about 24, 25 odd guests on there, and with descriptions, background, little things to check out, some linked references, and just like, man, like making my job so much easier. So I've added them to my list, and if I add people on and they get onto the podcast, I'll certainly be giving you props, man, because that helps me big time, because sometimes you sort of get a bit of tunnel vision and you start scratching your head trying to work out who to have on the podcast. I'm lucky that I've recorded quite a few in advance, but you know, you start to every once in a while have these panic sessions, these cold sweats where you start to think, man, like, who do I have on? Like, I don't want to get the same people over and over again, or the same types of people. I want someone different. And then people like Daniel come along and just save the freaking day. So Daniel, thank you so much. And once again, if I manage to get and convince any of these people to get on the podcast, I'll certainly give you your due credit. So please, when you hear this, please shoot me a message. I'm going to send you out a little thank you pack, some stuff laying around the house. I don't know what it is, but I'll always seem to find a bunch of odds and ends because we all love getting something in the mail, and it's just the least I could do to say thank you. So I really appreciate it, Daniel. Thank you so much. And thank you once again to everybody that supports me. Okay, I got to add another little plug, spam, spam, spam. Come and buy some stuff from me. If you go to andysocial.net/buy stuff, you can find a whole bunch of shit in there. Oh, there's some car pulling up next to me. Don't you hate it when you're trying to record something and a car pulls up right next to you? Yes, I'm recording in a car park in a national park. Oh, man, so awkward. Usually I would just stop and wait for them to keep going. But you know what? YOLO, fuck it. I've got other things to do. So anyway, andysocial.net/buy stuff. In there, you can find a whole bunch of different e-commerce platforms for the band, for our label, for the podcast, as well as our eBay and Discogs stores. So obviously the online stores for the band and the label and the podcast are self-explanatory, but for eBay, Jess and I have got an eclectic bunch of shit that we've owned and we want to get rid of. Lots of different things, clothes and music, CDs, DVDs, some music memorabilia, posters and stickers and other stuff. There are unwanted gifts on there. Sorry, folks, if you see your gifts on there, gotta sell them. Stop giving me shit. I hate clutter. It's all on there, so go and check it out. Maybe you want to get some gifts for somebody else. You want to pass on some shit and tick a box for Christmas or a birthday. Fuck, I hate giving gifts. Sorry. Anyway, becoming a Grinch. Go and check out the eBay store. Some of Jess's stuff is on there as well. So ladies, the one or two ladies actually listen to this podcast, go over there. You can check it out. There's a bunch of Jess's stuff on there as well. And also my Discogs store, I've got a large chunk of my music collection on there as well for sale. So CDs, cassettes, records, DVDs, etc. Lots of rare stuff, lots of cool stuff. Metal, rock, punk, pop music, blues, jazz, etc. There's heaps and heaps of stuff on there. So go and check it all out. Don't freaking get off my back about selling my music collection. I'm getting the weirdest messages from, not even from friends, not even people that I know, like random people going, why are you selling your collection? You shouldn't be doing that, blah, blah, blah. You're going to regret it. Fuck off. And I'm going to get into a, actually, I will. I'm selling my music collection because I want to. And it's better that it goes to somebody who's going to love it and own it and put it on a shelf and treasure it and admire it and take good care of it instead of it sitting in plastic tubs at home where they're just not getting any love at the moment and just collecting dust. Everything's digitized. I've got my Spotify playlist. I've got a hard drive that's got my entire music collection all digitized. I've got so much access to music. I don't need it. And you know what? Lemmy said it best. The chase is better than the catch. And I've had so much fun over the years searching the globe for some of the greatest albums of all time. Weird EPs, limited edition things, singles from the 80s on vinyl and CDs and just like really cool cassettes and stuff where I've just like gone, oh my God, like I can't believe I found this. And like little gems in like op shops and in like stores in Japan. And oh man, Japan is a gold mine for some of this stuff. Anyway, I've had so much fun. Like the rush that you get walking in into these halls, into these shops, into these little closets, these dark, seedy places and flicking through records and all sorts of stuff. And I'm getting so excited. I'm about to cough. It's just, it's incredible. But once you get it, it's great. But after a while, it wears off a little bit, and it has for me. And I'm not saying that I'm giving up on physical music. I love CDs, and I still buy them. I still got a collection, and some of my most treasured stuff will never be sold. But I got to get rid of a lot of this stuff. And you know what? Later on down the track, when I earn my millions, I'm going to go out there and start again, but with big fat pockets full of cash. And I'm going to scour the globe all over again looking for this stuff, and it's going to be fucking fun. I'm going to love it. I might even document it. I might do a little documentary and everyone can come along for the ride. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting carried away. Anyway, go over to my Discogs store. I've got heaps of stuff, lots of stuff. I've taken care of all of my music collection. Most of the stuff's mint condition or really, really, really good condition. So make sure you go and check it all out. If there's any dodgy shit and really rough stuff, it is dirt cheap, and I've got plenty of notations on the condition of everything over there. So there's no surprises. So go and check it all out. andysocial.net/buy stuff. Sorry for waffling on. And I must say a few little thank yous. Tristan from Baden in Queensland. Maximiliano. I've been wanting to say that name for so long. Verbally, I read it in my head all the time. Maximiliano from Revere in Massachusetts in the US of A. Maximiliano, I'm going to keep saying this guy's name. Maximiliano has been supporting Lord for quite a number of years and has been buying heaps and heaps of merchandise, CDs, etc. from us, and has just been a massive support. So he recently bought something from me on Discogs. So Maximiliano, thank you so much. And also Tomaz from Maidstone in the UK as well. Cheers, mate. Really appreciate that support. And once again, andysocial.net/buystuff. This was far too long of a waffle. Episode 180 is with Mike Cannon and Mike Feeney of the Irish Goodbye podcast, both New York comedians, both have been doing comedy for quite some time. You can go and check out the Irish Goodbye podcast by going to gasdigitalnetwork.com, or you can search for Irish Goodbye on your preferred podcast player. You know, the usual deal, guys. Mike and Mike were the last guys that I recorded in New York at the Gas Digital Studios. So you can go back and listen to the previous couple of episodes with Luis J. Gomez and Ralph Sutton. So Mike Cannon and Mike Feeney were the last guys that I had on with my little sesh, my little afternoon sesh at the Gas Digital Studios, but it was a lot of fun. We ran out of time, so this is a little bit of a quicker chat than I would have hoped, but it was just such a great opportunity to be able to chat to two really funny guys, and I'm a big fan of what they do, and they've been doing comedy for quite some time, and their podcast I've subscribed to, and just it's really, really funny stuff. So if you want to check out more of Mike Cannon's comedy, you can go to mikecannoncomedy.com and you can check out his comedy album. What's it called? I think it just kicked in. I'm going to my notes here. Sorry, Mike. If you want to go check out Mike Feeney, you can go to mikefeeneycomedy.com. Go and check out his YouTube channel. He's got some great videos in there. I recommend the R. Kelly interviews and also the Lady Gaga interviews. Really, really good. But we talk about a bunch of this stuff in the chat. Really, really funny guys, and just had a ball, and I'd love to be able to catch up with them again sometime, and hopefully they eventually come out to Australia and do a bunch of shows out here as well. But enough waffling on from me. You guys know the drill. Please enjoy this awesome chat with Mike Cannon and Mike Feeney. So in Australia, what we do is when there's, especially for me, like, name's Andrew, so I go Andy, but then there's a million Andys, a million Andrews, so a big thing in Australia is that you always refer to people with your last name. So my surname's Dowling, so people call me Dowlo because just like we're lazy.
Yeah.
So we could go Fino.
I get Feeney and Cannon a lot.
Yeah, yeah. That's more or less what I've been called since I was in third grade.
Yeah.
My last name is so just.
Yeah,
easy.
No one really abbreviates the last name, I feel like, ever. You know what I mean?
No, you've tried to make like Fiend American Dog work.
Fiend Dog, I mean, that's what the people are calling me, so I can't, I just go with whatever the fans say. But
that's part of your branding.
Yeah, exactly.
Must say, thank you so much for sacrificing some of your busy schedule. I was listening to the podcast the other day, and you were having this big bitch and moan about my life's falling apart, everything's happening, fucking hell. And
so you've listened to every episode, have you?
No, that's it. My homework's done, tick. Be like, I've got a baby coming, rah, rah, rah.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This borderline mental breakdown. I thought, oh, they must be stoked that they're meeting up with some random Aussie for a podcast.
I love, so honestly, this stuff is such a good break in the day, though, because this is the most fun. You get the bullshit on a microphone, but all the other stuff, putting our writing and like sending out emails and clerical work and that horseshit, that's the worst part of comedy. And then waiting on people's responses, that's the second worst. So
is that
all
like demoralizing
that,
to do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it sucks.
I hate it just from doing podcasting or even like sort of background in music. You're sort of always waiting on somebody else to come back to you and acknowledge your existence. So
yes.
It's like, you know, you're inviting somebody onto your show as a guest, or you want someone to listen to your music, and it's the responses that you get back where they say, don't have time, blah, blah, blah. I love them.
Yes.
Because it's like, they validated me.
Just
like
tell
I exist.
Me, yeah, just tell me no and let me, don't make me blow in the wind.
It's fucking closure.
It's very similar to
comedy. I'm not just having anxiety all day thinking about whether or not you saw it.
That's right. And I'm sitting there going, man, did they delete it by accident? Did it go to junk mail? Or did they look at it and go, fuck that guy, and just not respond? And so you're sitting there just going, oh, like,
that's
just
the one that I jump to usually. And then when I see them in person, I was like, what a fucking asshole this guy is. He knows what he did.
Oh, are you kidding? The pain has built up so substantially in the last week. I am I'm convinced that there is a like show business wide conspiracy against me. And things are going good.
Well, I had that coming to, so I've come to New York
on a part holiday with my wife, and she turns 30 in a couple of months, but it's an early 30th birthday for her. So she's in Soho, and as soon as I turn my phone back on, I'm going to see like my notifications for my credit card go through the roof.
Yeah.
She's on this shopping mayhem tour. Well, not tour, but she's on her own tour. But coming into it, I thought, I'm going to make the most of it and try and record some podcasts. So here I am, like, sending direct messages on Twitter and emailing, blah, 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 and just fucking nothing.
No kidding.
And same sort of thing. It's like, there's a conspiracy. Like, they're just looking at me going, fuck that guy. And there's something so obvious about my face or my name or something that I'm oblivious to, but everybody else can see, no, steer clear from this guy. This guy's a fucking red flag.
Right.
See, I would have that and then also rope Twitter in on it where they're somehow fucking my algorithm. Like, they just know that they don't want me to succeed, so they're burying all of my coding.
That's right. I've put this really... This tweet was so good, but nobody's liked it. Nobody's retweeted it.
That's my YouTube channel, really. It's like there's too many... It would get too many views if it got out there, so let's just keep it.
I think we could call this narcissistic delusion.
Yeah,
I think that's more or less... That's what I suffer from.
I prefer crippling paranoia.
Oh, it's character building, you know? But I don't know if it actually builds the character.
I mean, what point do we put some varnish on this character? I am sick of fucking building.
Yeah. The clay is hardened.
Yeah. The kiln's been on for days.
Well, one of the things that in podcasting that's really, really hard is meeting people for the first time and trying to get rapport going, like, really quickly.
Sure.
And I was talking to Ralph, as you know, him coming from a radio background and talking to musicians, and they're used to, like, the shit Q&A, like, tell me about the new album or the tour, blah, blah, blah. And they're, like, just going through the motions, and you've got to cut through really quickly. One thing that I'm always paranoid about is doing that, but there's a video that you've put up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's outtakes with Doug Stanhope.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was an interview.
That is the fucking most awkward video I've ever watched.
This is Feeney, by the way.
I'm sitting there going, this is all my nightmares just being shown to me in a mirror.
Where
you're sitting there talking to somebody. And obviously you had the other one with Ari, which was the edited down version.
Well, yeah, and there's the original. There's the one that the finished Doug Stanhope one that they, because it was for that website, The Chive.
Yeah.
So, like, they just hired me to host it. I didn't write it. It was just asking 50 questions, but they're like, when's the first time you drank? Or, you know what I mean? They're very surface level questions, which aren't exactly, they're not detailed in any way, but I guess they, you know, they were both going around touring, so they were trying to promote on a press tour or whatnot. But with Ari's, it was just like, you know, we did our thing. But with Doug's, they edited it down to like a minute and a half, and it was like a 2-hour interview that we did, like a minute and a half. And Doug Stanhope does not thrive on a minute and a half, especially like they were taking his serious answers, not his joke answers. So there was just one word, is like yes, no, 52. Like, he was just saying things, and it cut it together, and then didn't even show all 50 questions. So I had met the photographer, I mean the videographer. You know, I became friends with him on the set, and personally reached out to him and was like, "Do you still have the raw footage from that interview?" He said yes, and then I went and met him and got it, and then took all of the gold that they didn't use, which then became the outtakes, which is just like him shitting on me or just saying some wild shit. You know,
I think one of them was like, "What's the lamest thing in this room?" And it's sort of like, as soon as you said that, I was like, oh man, you just left yourself wide open.
And I had to read it. It was not the thing. They were paying me to do a job.
And you can just see like the cogs in his head just sort of like going, are you fucking serious? Like, there's only one thing I'm going to say here.
Yeah.
Whereas like Ari sort of like went, oh, I don't know, there's nothing really lame about like in this room or something like that.
I know, but I wish Doug, I should have got the outtakes for Ari too.
It was nice that Ari was on mushrooms at the time.
Yeah.
He was feeling very empathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seemed quite chilled. I was expecting, because I watched Doug's first, and then I saw Ari's. I thought, oh, Ari's.
Well, Doug
fucking
had been drinking all day, if you were surprised to hear it, and was like, chain smoking cigarettes. So he was, we went out drinking for like an hour after that, and then he essentially went to bed. It was like, it was too,
And you hadn't met him before?
No, but he was super, I mean, he's very, how he is on camera is what he is in real life,
just,
you know?
Yeah,
very cool. Yeah.
Very, very chilled and relaxed, but like borderline horizontal.
He's got he's got strong opinions, but they're so unapologetically usually accurate that you're like, all right, most people will call you an asshole, but you're kind of just like, he just seems like the guy who's had one too many drinks to use the filter anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it's the first drink after after you lose your filter. That's where I feel.
Well, that's
like
also the best safety net ever. Is just like, I'm from Boston, I'm also drunk.
Yeah.
I can say whatever. Don't take me too serious.
Here's my pass, guys.
Yeah,
right.
Let me through. Yeah,
right.
Oh man, it's when I watch that, as I said, like you instantly, I'm getting like cold sweats, like watching it going, oh, fuck. Like I'm thinking about every time I've met someone face to face and you go, so, tell me, like, what was it like growing up in Belgium? And
right.
They go, normal. and you go, oh, fuck, that's not what I want you to say. Like, yeah. You know, that's a cue. Like, tell me right. something interesting about your life. And then I'm thinking, no, I didn't ask the best question. And then you start, like, you're having that in your head as there's this dead silence in between, like you're live, you're talking, and you're suddenly right. going, oh, that's right, I've got to think of the next question.
But that's shitty right. on their part. As
oh, it is.
If you're a guest and you one word answer anything.
Yeah, just don't show up. Yeah. It's a better show without that.
Right.
Oh, have you guys ever had an episode where you've just decided, nah, fuck it, we're not going to put it out?
No, not of this show, right?
No, of Irish Goodbye? No, we probably should have.
There's several that we could have done.
You're going for the quantity aspect?
Yeah.
There's several that could make my conspiratorial thinking true.
Yeah.
they could have set me back. But yeah, no, we've put out every single one. I've had podcasts in the past where the interview didn't go well or it was over the phone. Over the phone interviews suck the most because you can't really interject or have any in real time. Yep. Reactions or tangential thinking. It's all like kind of, you know, especially with an old podcast about conspiracy, so people would drone on their theory as if they're giving some awful TED Talk presentation. And so, you know, there was no real rapport.
That's the hardest one for me is that especially being in Australia, it's like you just don't have people constantly coming through town. Like here, you're in a great location. So and it depends on your type of show, but if you're sort of guest driven, there's a higher hit rate of being able to convince people to drop in and just do a quick hour or whatever it might be. But, you know, in Australia, it's getting better, but you sort of think, I've got to fucking phone people. Mm. And so I have a lot of musicians that I have on the podcast as well as fucking mixed bag. But, you know, I go to a lot of European musicians and the Europeans, and I'll fucking wipe that entire continent with the same brush. They are the shittest to talk to because they are that one word response type thing.
Right.
Where
right.
They're not... They're more about efficiency. So it's about what is the point of us talking right now?
I've got a message
and I'm going to, I've got to get to the point and give you the intention behind my message and that's it. I'm not here to waffle. I'm not here to have a conversation or anything like that. So for me, and I'll just run off on a tangent, blah, 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 blah. And then they'll be like, yeah.
Yeah, go, that's the worst.
Oh, all right.
Those are bad people.
I'm running out of questions here. I mean, it's getting hard.
That might be the difference between musicians and comedians is that we're such people-pleasing assholes. If you started having a heart attack, we'd continue this podcast without you in hopes.
Yeah, we'd just snap to somebody to fix
in
help
hopes
you.
We could just get your audience.
Yeah.
Start throwing all the plugs in.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, what was I listening to the other day? Oh, I was listening to an old episode of Skanks on Rogan from like early last year, and Rogan went off to the toilet and he's like, just keep talking, and they're like, what the fuck are we going to talk about? And then they suddenly went, this is our fucking opportunity, we've got so many people listening, and they just started plugging just got manic, and I thought, oh, fucking legend, so good.
But that's a great idea. I mean why showcase your talent when you can plug?
Exactly.
Do you think that the podcast that you guys have got has helped you guys individually as comedians? Do you think that's sort of given you guys a bit more to work with as far as the portfolio of...
Yeah, I mean, I personally think that any time on the mic makes you a little more comfortable. And, you know, now knowing how many people listen to us, that kind of sets it into perspective that I'm, you know, that we're capable of holding their attention for over an hour per week. So, you know, yeah, that gives me a little bit of confidence and has helped me in stand-up and other shit, too.
And it also, yeah, we've really... There's been so many... bits that have come out of it for, I think, both. I mean, some that are made it onto your album was just like stories that we talked about on the podcast. That, you know, it's like, it's almost our open mic, but also real life, you know, which is a terrifying combination because if it's not funny, it's sad.
It sure is. Which is all the time on stage as well.
Yeah. So that's a cool kind of a thing. But yeah, no, just like it's the same thing what Mike said, though. It's great having, you know, seeing that people give a shit. And that's more than anybody that's ever come out to shows, way more have ever come from the podcast than anything else I've ever done. So,
well, I think even for me, like I love comedy, but I've been a bigger podcast fan. And so you start to go down that rabbit hole of, oh, well, if you listen to that, then you listen to this. And so you start to find other people and people guest on each other's podcasts and all that. And so, but when you're listening to comedians on a podcast, you start to think, oh, what else is out there. So you look for the YouTube videos, mm-hmm. or you look for the dates if they're in town or something like that. In Australia, it's a bit harder if you listen to a lot of American comedians, unless they're massive.
Sure.
They're not coming down to Australia. But
is Arch still out there?
Oh, fuck, man. He is his own...
No kidding.
Down there. He is so fucking big.
Good for him, man.
He went down there.
Just the Russell Peters of
Australia. Just Australia. How great is that, though, living
in
that...
You get a whole continent.
Yeah, I mean, that is...
Yeah, that's it. As Ralph said, I think we've got 9 people in Australia, yeah. But yeah.
I mean, I'd take Ohio, so yeah, Australia sounds lovely.
I don't know his full story. I should get him on the podcast, but he came like about close to 20 years ago, and... Just right time, right place.
Where did he come from?
Here. He was he was working the cellar, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And he was on Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
And that kind of, I think it more or less exposed him to you guys, right? Because, I know you have your issues with the New Zealanders, but.
Goddamn Kiwis, right?
Our issues with New Zealanders is we like to shit on them until they start to be successful, and then we say that they're actually Australian. They fucking hate it. They hate it. It's like, no, he wasn't a Kiwi. Like, was he born there? No, I don't think so. I think he was born in Melbourne or something like that.
That's
like,
fuck hilarious.
Fuck you. Yeah, no, Flight of the Conchords. I think if anybody gets onto that show, then there's almost like an open door. But, I mean, yeah. Arj is a really talented comedian, mm-hmm. and I just think, obviously, timing's a big thing, but he's just got this way of, he's so fucking casual with the way that he just talks with people, and we've always been seen as this, and it's not always correct, but sort of this stereotypical laid-back culture where we're way too casual for our own good, like we're so blasé about shit.
Right.
And he sort of just fed it, whether he was already like that before he came over or he saw it and he started to change his act. Maybe he wasn't that sort of hyper aware,
uh-huh.
but it just worked out. And so Australians sort of went, I like this guy and he's got an accent. So he's a bit different, but he's like us. And so he's on all primetime TV.
Wow.
I don't know how
career. That's what we got to do, man. Let's
yeah. Australia.
Yeah.
Bring us over.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, if there's any comedy clubs willing, just pay for the flight.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
I'll leave my wife and kid. I'll yeah.
I'll book a couple of extra seats on the way back. Your kid isn't...
Not yet. July. Yeah.
I was going to say, your kid's not out yet.
I speak about it. Yeah, well, hopefully one day.
Neither is Mike.
Yeah, I wish I had a career. If my kid's gay, that'll vault me into some sort of television career. But yeah, he's coming out in July.
that's the next special.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's
why. Already have one.
I have I have kind of this almost middle ground hour right now because I released my album and now, you know, I'm obviously having this big life shift. So I'm trying to figure out what to do with this hour of material that most likely is going to be completely irrelevant to my life in 4 months. So that's the next.
It's that time capsule, isn't it?
Yeah, it pretty much is. You know, that's if nothing else in comedy, I want to leave some sort of body of work. I want, you know, my efforts and my aspirations to, you know, coalesce on something. So if it's an hour of stand up, that's it. If it's a fucking movie, that's it. If it's a podcast, you know, who knows?
And
if it's a podcast, that sucks.
This episode's brought to you by gas.
Yeah.
but I mean, especially with, I mean, I'm not a father or anything, but I think that sort of milestone moment in most people's lives is so relatable.
Mm.
So that sort of material always works as well.
I think so.
So I think
yeah.
A lot of people sort of can. They either relate to it directly or indirectly.
Yeah.
So it's...
I do want to, you know, I'm not necessarily going to fall into an archetype, but I do want to try to approach it from my own way and make it, you know, as honest and, you know, most likely what, violent? I guess violent is kind of my voice.
Yeah, I think
that's my tone.
Suppressed rage is...
I don't even know where it's suppressed.
You know what it is? He's like the volcano that has like cracks in the actual volcano. So sometimes lava comes out the side, but it's never a full eruption because you know that would mean death for all.
And then every once in a while, there's a good selfie at the top.
On your podcast, you talk about stories.
Mm-hmm.
What has been the most? I was going to say fucked up story, but what's something that sort of has just totally spun you guys out as far as something you would just never expect to hear from a guest or even from each other, like just trading stories?
I mean, there was the first thing I thought of is when Matt Richards got invited to go into like the shack or into that fucking, it was like a trailer, like a shipping container, sorry. Right. And then he like got t- talked into going into that when he was like a kid.
And then
the kid who talked him into it locked him in there in the darkness. And then once he unlocked him from him, like 10 minutes later, he said he was going to kill him and was holding a knife. That I remember.
Yeah.
That was pretty horrifying. That really threw us. But there's been a bunch of people that just tell a lot of wild fight stories. We often get people that feel very comfortable with us and then shortly thereafter ask us not to post certain.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like,
please
can you
don't
take that
tag
down?
Us because it's still pending legally.
Yeah, there's been multiple legal pending cases.
I think even just some of the stories that I've remembered in the moment, especially in some of our earlier episodes, like Mike and I, we would just be bullshitting in our living room. So it was super comfortable and it almost wasn't like even a show.
Yeah.
We just were recording it. And then eventually, I guess people were hearing it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
We had no fucking plan. We were just doing it. So but some of those stories that like I have a pretty weird childhood, you know, blind spot. I don't remember a lot of specifics, but for some reason in our conversations, stuff has come up that I completely forgot about.
Yeah, well.
And
yeah.
Then you remember so many details. So
yeah,
like,
it's crazy.
Fresh. Yeah, it's really weird.
Do you think that, I mean, obviously it's a comedy-based podcast, but, you know, when some of these stories, like that one, you sort of think, oh, fuck, how do I put a comedic spin onto this story?
Yeah.
Or some of those ones are a little bit too deep, and you go, oh fuck! Like, how do we as comedians, as hosts,
yeah,
try to?
I don't know. I haven't worried about that with this show. Like, there hasn't been a part where it's been like, you know, I guess there's been times where we either get too mad or whatever, but it's never been like I'm worrying this isn't going to be funny or something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because
conflict is also great on a podcast,
and also in comparison to all the shows that I've done in the past, it doesn't get moderately as like serious or even as angry. Our anger is still, you know, we're spinning it comedically. It's just like podcasting is kind of like comedy gymnastics, where it's like comedy parkour more, where you're just trying to kind of jump from fucking ledge to ledge while maintaining the story, keeping the ball in the air and being funny at the same time. So maybe a joke won't even be even moderately attached to what the fuck you're talking about, but that you have to do it just to save your own life.
And it's weird to watch when people on our podcast, like we go like Inception 4 or 5 levels deep, where someone's telling a story and then that reminds somebody of another story, so they interject and go that and then that, and we go way crazy deep with layers, and I don't understand how people follow it, but if we get there, so I guess other people might as well.
Yeah, and we're the highest out of anybody.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that I struggle with podcasting, is that you're trying to be in the moment but also think about the things that you're meant to be saying and covering things, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. And so when I look at people doing stand-up, and it's another beast altogether, because you're in front of people, you're in that moment, and people, you know, there's an instant reaction, good or bad.
Sure.
You know, you're either bombing or you're killing it.
Sure.
And, but you've got to think on your feet. So you go, that's not working, I've got to pivot, I've got to change all the time. And I just look at, like, just from my, like, little bit of experience over the last few years doing podcasting, I'm sitting there going, like, I could never take that extra step to go, oh, I don't want to, but I could never see myself standing in front of people.
Sure.
With just my voice. Like, yeah. I play guitar,
yeah.
And I can hide behind the guitar. It's like fucking whatever. Like,
yeah, but even that, it's the same thing, right? If you're playing a live show and you're playing guitar, while you're playing, you're also like looking out at the crowd. You're being, I'm assuming, a showman in some sort, where you're kind of like,
yeah,
you know, you're prancing around. You're also, while you're playing, you're going, all right, next up is going to come the bridge, and then I'm going to put in this solo. Like, you're doing the same thing that comics do when comics are on stage, going like, all right, these people aren't listening, and these two are talking over here, while you're saying your jokes out loud. You're still like, you're present, but you're doing two things at once.
I kind of understand what you're saying, though. Intellectually, you're right. It's similar in the sense of how our brains are working during the performance, but you do have this kind of like conduit between you and the audience where the guitar is almost like your fucking weapon to connect, and we are a little bit, you know, obviously we don't have anything else except our horse shit, and and whether or not people are gonna like it is gonna be very determined on, I mean, you know, we've done multiple shows in a night, and you can do the exact same material in several shows and get a completely different reaction from people.
Yeah.
And you know, so you never know. It's fucking bananas.
But I think the other thing is, like, with music, unless you're playing like some weird jazz improv or something like that, you've got that structure. And I know, like, comedians have got their set and they've got their time, and you've got material in there, so you've got a start, a middle, and an end. But obviously, if stuff's not hitting and you sort of notice that the audience is reacting a little bit differently, then I assume that you would have a basket of stuff that you're sort of picking from.
Yeah, you can audible out of it. Yeah, yeah. You have your other options and stuff. But there's so many times where you go, all right, well, the next thing I need to say needs to be great to win them back. Or,
oh, man,
you know.
My option is usually push down on the sticks. Yeah. Well, nose into their foreheads. Let's go.
2 days ago where I was just, yeah, the show was at, I had them up top. I felt confident about it. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this more like edgier like joke that's, you know, kind of could be a room divider. And I start doing that and they really got offended, and then the next joke, I was like, "Is it the same?" I was like, "Well, I'm doubling." I was like, "Fuck you!" At that point, I got mad. I was like, "I'm not gonna. I refuse to change." But if you know, it all depends on the show.
I'm the exact same way now, and not only, but more or less, because a lot of my material is like so personal and about what I'm going through, and I've got all this new kid stuff that's very raw, but it's working, and kind of, you know. But I'm feeling like, you know, brand new about it. It's kind of a new cut. So when people don't like those jokes, I take it as a personal attack. And then
it's
and I lash out at them, and they're like, we haven't even been filled in on what the conflict is.
Right. It's that reverse heckler, because I was going to say, like, at least playing music, if you've got someone in the crowd that's giving you shit, you've got volume. Yeah. So you just keep playing.
Right.
Or you beef it up and you just turn up the volume. Whereas, you know, from a comedian point of view, with nothing else there, you're sort of, well, I make that decision, do I engage with them or do I not, you know? And sometimes, like, the best out there will just completely stop the show, ruin someone in the audience, but it becomes the best set possible because of that. But I just look and go, oh, man, like, my anxiety would be going through the roof, just having to sort of make that decision in the moment to go, do I have enough here? And especially if you're talking about something personal, it probably makes it easier because you're feeling it straight away and you can just go, get the fuck out, or whatever.
Right.
Obviously wittier than that.
But also,
get the fuck out.
But that's kind of the risk you run, is that it gets serious.
Yeah.
Especially if somebody is being a piece of shit, like an outright piece of shit, and they're heckling and disrupting the show and they're ruining it for everybody around them. It could totally ruin the show.
And then it's so hard to get it back.
Yeah, because even though your intentions were good to just kind of like either shut this person up, kick them out, do whatever, people with a higher maybe public figure, like somebody like Seinfeld, could stop a show and kind of just be like, I'm not going until you get out. And then the person gets out and people will be so grateful that he's now starting the show, he'll pick right back up where he left. So, but with us, we would have to probably start from scratch, rebuild, maybe even have
start
the host bring us back
zero.
Up.
Yeah,
just get off, cry for a minute, do a jumping jack, and then hopefully get back on.
Well, I don't know if you guys have heard of the Australian comedian Steve Hughes. So he used to live with Jim Jefferies back in the day when they were both trying to, I guess, get a name for themselves in the UK. And Steve's like an ex-metalhead. He's playing a really sort of successful metal band in Australia. And I saw him at the Sydney Comedy Store years and years ago, and he just wasn't having a good night. He was just tired, whatever. And it was still good. He was going through his material, but there was and it's probably stereotypical everywhere, and you guys have probably had your own experience, but there was a table of women who were on their hens night. And so they all had their penis straws and their little, you know, balloons and everything like that, and they're just loud through the whole thing. So the MC's like, you know, politely at the beginning of the entire show saying, hey, girls, you know, just chill out, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, ha, ha, ha. And then the acts are starting to be impacted by it. Steve gets on. He ignores them for like the first 15-odd minutes. And then he just turns. And I'm going to butcher this, but it was more or less, you're a bunch of cunts. Fuck off, you dirty skanks. Rah, rah, rah. And he goes, get the fuck out. Fuck off, cunts. Fuck off. And everyone's going, whoa.
Yeah.
But then eventually it got to a point where everybody stood up and started clapping.
Yeah.
And just went, you're out.
There's always a funny moment when you do that too, though, when they're like, fuck off, get out of here. And then they're like, okay, but we still got to get our bill. Okay. How many drinks did you have? We'll be out of here. It'll be 10 minutes tops. And then
I love that everybody kind of slowly was like, you're right, they are cunts.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get them out.
Cunt.
That's actually very comforting to know that that's a international issue.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's those stereotypical groups that come along to comedy nights. Like, people obviously, and I said it with Lewis earlier, where, and he didn't think it was much of an issue, but for a different reason, but with tourists in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the fatal mistake of booking a hotel near Times Square.
Oh,
fucking
shit.
Shooting.
You only do that once.
Oh, fuck. And I've been here a few times, and I should have just gone Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
I've had much better experiences, but I'm just in the tourist fucking mecca hotspot. and I hate tourists, and I'm one of them. So every time I'm standing around, I'm getting ambushed by people on the side of the street trying to sell me something. If I take my phone out, then the other day my wife Jess, she's taking a photo of some fucking building, and this guy walked past, and he goes, "Here's fucking tourists," and I go, "Whoa!" And she's like, "What did I do?" And I said, "You had your camera out, that's why." And so you're sort of just you're hyper-conscious about everything. But
right.
But the question I had for Lewis was around people that go to the comedy shows, because it's almost like a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
LA is obviously a big one, and you're the other sort of big sort of mecca comedy central spot. And there's people selling comedy tickets everywhere in Times Square. But do you guys notice a difference with tourists that rock up to shows in sort of the New York City area? Like, and do you notice that there's a different type of reaction? Like the locals probably get it more than the tourists do, or it doesn't matter?
I don't know. It more or less kind of depends on the quality of person. It doesn't matter about geography, because people that come to comedy knowing what stand-up is, typically they're a better audience member. People that come to comedy to see quote-unquote comedy... Hmm. Those people need to be put to death outside of the club before they get in. Like, it's fucking irresponsible consumerism. At this point in day and age where we have every bit of information available at our fingertips, if you go out to see comedy or any other live entertainment and you have just no idea what it is and you're not going with an open mind, if you're going with a set expectations, you should, I mean, there's no excuse for that.
I became sort of self-conscious about it, because I thought, I don't want to be the tourist that goes to a local comedy gig, because I don't want to be that person. And it's like, and I said it to my wife, I said, I just want to blend in. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I grab my phone out, I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I can't wait to put this on Instagram. But then you look around and the locals are doing it as well.
You blend in, though. Everybody in Williamsburg is wearing exactly what you're wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Google.
Right.
Yeah. No, and also, I think it's just like, also, you should be able to go see comedy without, like, because the good thing about New York is a lot of New Yorkers go see comedy a lot. So you going to a show is not going to be like a tourist. I mean, it depends on the club you go to. There's a couple clubs that are just tourist traps that you're like, don't go near there. And usually they're the ones right around where you're staying. Caroline's notwithstanding.
Selling tickets.
Yeah.
Caroline, I used to be one of those.
Caroline's was on the list. I'm here for another 5-odd days, so I've got plenty of time. But there's a few there where I was sort of looking, going, oh, I don't know. Especially
Caroline's is great, though.
Yeah, Caroline's is great. And that's more of like a headliner club on the weekend stuff, too. So you'll see people do longer sets versus a lot of the other clubs, like the Cellar and stuff, or showcase clubs, and New York Comedy Club as well.
Yeah. There was another one that hasn't been mentioned, I won't. But they're the ones that are doing the hard sell out in Times Square. And it's just fucking...
LOL, that horseshit establishment.
I think that might be it.
That place is just run by a group of criminals.
Oh, man. And you just get...
And I don't even know if that's true. I'm just assuming based on who they have selling their tickets. Because, I mean, one of those guys... I used to hand out flyers for Broadway Comedy Club, which is a kind of a tourist-heavy club, but they actually do things in a moderately honest way. LOL, those animals would run up to me and like at 6 p.m. be like, what's up, dude, want a ticket? And I'm like, I'm doing the same thing. They're like, cool, do I have coke in my nose? And I'm like, yes, yeah, actually you really do. And then they'd like literally numb up their own nose.
Well, I thought they were the same people that were handing out the tickets for like the Woodbury Common factory outlet stores and the bus, the tourist free bus ride things. They seem to be the same people on the corners.
People are handing bus tickets to take an hour out of New York City.
If you walk down, I don't know what street it is, but near that Port Authority bus terminal.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. You've got to have your head down.
Port Authority bus terminal is also like a place
the seventh circle of hell.
Yeah, like no one should ever have to go there.
I used to be in and out of there every day before I moved to New York City when I was like trying
to
get a job.
Place.
Dude, I remember one time I had to go to the bathroom so bad in Port Authority. There was no avoiding it. I was leaving for a bus. It was the final bus. I had like 8 minutes to really pinch this off and get going. And I ran into the bathroom, kicked open the first door, and there was legitimately a full intact shit lining the entire top of the toilet seat. The entire top. And I swear to God, this is totally true. I was like, holy shit. I came out of the stall and a homeless guy looked at me with his pants unbuttoned and he goes, only in New York.
That's ironically every story at Port Authority. That happens daily.
Not special at all.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And you know that guy who had Humans of New York or whatever it was, that people of New York? There has to be a spin-off version of just like Humans of Port Authority. Like when you walk through there,
it's a good Instagram idea.
Be hysterical, just snapping pictures and people that are clearly suffering's face.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, we we have seen so many just, and I guess like it's the size of the city, any big city, you're going to have a mixed bag of people, but the amount of just really odd, deranged,
oh, yeah.
just fucking, like people that you just don't want to make eye contact with is just insane. And around there's just like this little magnet. But I was in Macy's the other day and Jess is going to the bathroom. So I'm standing in like this little thoroughfare, like with all the other husbands with their bags and waiting like a sad sack of
shit. Bunch of cucks.
Yeah. And this little old lady comes out with her little old lady stroller bag thing. And she looks over and just mutters something. And I realize, okay, you're either homeless or you're not all there or whatever it might be. And so I just kept my head down. I'm on my phone. And then she walks off. She's still muttering. I can tell she's having a go at me. And so I just ignore. And then she turns around and she goes, are you listening to me? And I thought, oh, fuck. And then this is this point where I go, okay, I've got to make a decision. Do I lift my head and acknowledge this person's existence or right. do I just dig my heels in and just go, no, keep scrolling through Facebook, please, please.
Yeah.
And she just started pacing towards me and I looked up and she goes, I'm talking to you. And I went, okay. And then here's me. Like, we never say ma'am or sir, but you guys love it. And I like it. But yeah. I thought, I've got to try and be local here. So I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm just waiting for my wife. And she goes, stop fucking talking. And then another person walked in between us. And so she turned around and walked off. And Jess came out and I said, you should have seen this woman. And she's like, oh, really? And we walked around the corner and she was right there. And I just looked and went, see? And pointed at my wife. And she's yeah, but she was just not all there. But I thought, this is going to end badly. I'm the foreigner.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like the foreigner abuses some poor old woman that's not all there.
Yeah.
You're lucky she didn't piss on your shoes or something.
Oh, man. Scary stuff.
That would have been brutal.
Guys, after me waffling on, that's a good place to wrap it up. I'm keeping an eye on the time because I know we're going to get kicked out. But where can people find you guys?
At MikeFeeneyComedy.com or YouTube is Mike Feeney Comedy is the name of the channel. Also, you can go to @IamMikeFeeney on all social media and listen to our podcast, Irish Goodbye.
Yeah, our podcast. And @IamMikeCannon, MikeCannonComedy.com. It's real easy for the two of us. We basically have mimicked each other's social media
I know it's a big thing. I thought it might have been a gas thing because there's a few people that's like, I am my
Alex.
Name.
Yeah. And that's just a matter of Mike Feeney not being available.
Yeah, that's just us being late to Twitter.
We
all saw it as a fad, which should completely key you into how the business minds work here. Everybody without their own names. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. We started selling DVDs.
It's pretty great.
Guys, thanks for that.
Thank you.
Cheers. Go and check out Cannon and Feeney's stuff. You can go to MikeCannonComedy.com or you can go to MikeFeeneyComedy.com. You can also go to GasDigitalNetwork.com to find the podcast Irish Goodbye or search for Irish Goodbye in your podcast player. As I said, funny guys, and hopefully got a kick out of that episode. And massive thank you to Bobby, to everyone at Gas Digital Studios, Ralph, Lewis, everybody that was able to accommodate me, Hank as well, who helped produce most of the podcasting that I did there. Everyone was super cool, really hospitable, and I'm really looking forward to coming back hopefully soon to do some more podcasts in the future. So thanks, guys. It just means a lot to me. So go and check all that out. Go and check out the podcast. And as I said, both Cannon and Feeney's comedy is really, really funny. And as always, you can go to the show notes over at andysocial.net. Just click through on your podcast player. There's a bunch of clickable links there. Go and have a sticky beak and shoot them a DM and let them know that you listen to them on my podcast as well. I'm sure they'll enjoy that. Updates. Okay, not too many new things to report in, especially if you've been listening to the last few episodes of the podcast. However, I'm going to do a quick recap. From a Lord perspective, the new album Fallen Idols is still pending. I promise it's going to come out this year. I promise. I'm sure you guys are sick of me just talking about basically nothing when it comes to this album because I can't really share anything. But as it stands right now, we are waiting for a contract to come over from our friends in Japan. We will review that, and hopefully the first draft of this contract will be bang on. Otherwise, it's going to drag out too long. It's been really challenging. So I believe we're getting closer to that light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. And I'm really looking forward, as I've been crapping on for the last several months, to share this music with you all. So stay tuned. But in the meantime, we announced an Australian tour. We figured we'd better announce something. So from the 21st of June, we're going to be gallivanting around the country, starting in Canberra. We'll be going to Brisbane, Perth,
Melbourne, Adelaide, and wrapping up in Sydney on the 26th of July. So if you want to check out the dates, if you're from any of those places, go over to lord.net.au. You can check out the tour dates there. You can there's a whole bunch of dates on all of our social media pages, actually. So it's pretty easy to find. But as always, you can shoot me a message if you want to double check. Got lots of feedback to play all over the country. I saw Tasmania pop up again, Newcastle, and some of our other larger regional centres. Always open to play anywhere. Shoot us a message and pitch us an idea or put us in touch with somebody. The main reason why we don't play all of these places all the time, and some places have been, it's been many, many years since we've hit these places up, is pretty much because we lose money. Just to put it really bluntly. So if there's somebody out there who really wants us to play a particular place, hit us up and put us in touch with some people and we'll see what we can do. I would love to get back down to Hobart and Launceston and play down in Tasmania. I'd love to play Newcastle again, especially at the Cambridge. It's been years since we played there and it's a great venue and I'd love to be able to tick that box off again. And there's a heaps of other places that we'd love to play. So pitch me your ideas. I'm open to discuss and look into the possibilities. So we'll see what happens. But for the time being, this will be the first leg of the tour. We are looking at other parts of the globe as well. We pretty much put it on, not the back burner, we've just placed pause on those discussions for the time being until we have the album out and we've got a little bit of a timeline as far as what we're working towards, and then we can start, I guess, more or less budgeting. I think that's a big thing from a money point of view. We've just got to make sure we've got the cashola to be able to plan a lot of these tours and trek around the globe. So we want to go back to New Zealand. It's been years since we've been there. We want to go back through Southeast Asia. We want to go. Japan's pretty much probably number one as far as the first sort of international stop for us. North America, we are desperate to get back over there, whether it be through some old networks, some good friends of ours now, or some new ones. So we'll see what happens. And of course, Europe as well. So lots of places that we would like to conquer with this new album. We believe it's pretty much a game changer for us. It's going to be, I think, our flagship album, in my opinion. So this is the album that we need to get out there and just tell everyone that we exist. Here we are. We're over here. Hey, pay attention to us. So anyway, lots of stuff happening, lots of stuff in the works. I have boxes of a certain album sitting in my shed. So I'm not going to tell you where I live, but let's just say that we are more than ready to release this album, but we're just waiting on all that fine print. So stay tuned. And as we get new things that we can talk about and announce, we shall do so. With Self-Starter, we are getting closer to releasing season two. I've almost finished recording everything for season two. I'm just in the editing mode at the moment, which is painful. But as I've mentioned before, I've got a couple of spots left. So if you know anybody out there that runs their own business, whether they've only just kicked it off in the last several weeks, they're a few months in, a few years in, or they're decades in, let me know. They potentially could be a great guest for the podcast. And also anybody out there that might have just a traditional job, but they may have like a second revenue stream, like a bit of extra pocket money. They might do something online or they might do something on the weekends. I saw a few people that do refereeing and coaching after hours and get paid to do that. So, you know, things like that. So if you know anybody out there that might tick these boxes, basically I want to show people that there are many ways to make money. And I don't want people to sit back and just expect to be given opportunities. I think we're all more than skilled enough to get out there and be able to create, as I coin, our desirable lifestyle. So just there's plenty of options and plenty of stories out there. So if you think there's anybody out there that could help spread that message out there to the masses, let me know. One last thing before we wrap this episode up, I forgot to mention, at the beginning of June, I believe I'm going to kick off a mailing list. I have been thinking about doing this for a while and just been ultra lazy. The beginning of June, I will have a mailing list. So you may get an email from me. It's going to be via MailChimp. So if you don't want the email, then you can unsubscribe straight away. You should be able to sign up for the mailing list now anyway. I don't think you can on the website, but I think you can do it via Facebook. Ooh, via Facebook. So you can go and do that. But if you're going to get an email from me at the beginning of June, chances are you already know me personally anyway. You're a mate. But if you don't want the email, you can unsubscribe. So no dramas there. I'm also going to launch a Facebook group. Yes, cringe. Ugh, Facebook groups, how annoying. But what it is, it's going to be a private group. I'm not going to have it open-ended and promote it. I'm just going to mention it at the tail end of these episodes because not everybody listens to these intros and outros. They usually just listen to the main sort of guts of the podcast with the guest. So you who are listening to me right now, thank you so much. It means a lot because I know I crap on quite a bit and most people will just fast forward to the end and get on with another podcast episode. So if you're interested in being a part of this private group, shoot me an email or a message and I will add you in. But what it will be and what the mailing list is going to be is probably a, not a super regular, but a somewhat regular update of what's going on in my world, whether it be the podcasts, the band, or anything else that I happen to dabble in. And to make it a little bit more appealing, I'm going to basically give you guys, my inner circle, first dibs on a lot of stuff. The guests that come onto the podcast usually give me access to something. They don't have to, but sometimes they feel that, you know, they want to give me something to give away or, you know, some discount stuff or whatever it is. And I want to be able to share that with an inner circle of supporters. And there's a lot of you out there that support the podcast and listen religiously each week. And I want to give back a little bit more than just my shout outs and little mail outs each week. So shoot me a message if it's of interest to you. The Facebook group will be private and I'll keep it really, really small. And what I'll do is I'll be sharing a lot more information in there. I'll be sharing potential guests, people that I've got on my radar. I'll share some of my struggles as far as trying to nab people. And if you guys have got suggestions, we can talk about that. I'll also get some input from some of you as far as, you know, I've got this particular guest that I'm going to talk to in the next couple of weeks, any suggestions or things to talk about, and you guys might have some input there as well. I'll let you know in advance of some of the episodes that are already coming out if people are interested in that. And of course, if I do get my hands on extra copies of something, some freebies, some discounts and things like that, I will share them in that private group to begin with, just so you guys, my inner circle, have got access to that stuff first. I just want to try and give back as much as I can because I know a lot of people sacrifice a lot of their time listening to me crap on. So, you know, it's one little step in a direction where I want to go, where I'm giving more to you all. There's lots of stuff happening. I've just finished doing a bunch of recording at Tim's for some new stuff that which is completely outside of my comfort zone. And some people would have seen my Insta story from about a week or so ago as of the time of this podcast coming out. There is some interesting stuff coming out in the next couple of months. So I think it's good timing to have a mailing list to keep people up to date and a private Facebook group as well where I can share this information with people but also provide opportunity as well. So we'll see what happens. That's enough crapping on for me. I am sitting. I'll tell you where I'm sitting. I'm recording this outro at the Nowra High School, football field or soccer field or something like that. I'm sitting in the car park here. There's no one else around and it's just about to start raining. So I'm going to wrap this up, but how's the serenity? Anyway, until next week, folks, take care. Ta-ta. Larry, please.